Blessed be the name of the Lord. The psalmist puts it a very unique way. He says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Quite a unique way to describe praising God. A God that needs no magnification. A God who is larger than all of the adjectives of big in the English language could describe. But yet, the psalmist says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." I don't believe that reference is speaking of magnifying God, making God bigger. But I believe that reference is more concerning us. Magnifying God in our lives. Magnifying God in our spirit. Magnifying God in our hearts. You've danced. You've shouted. You lifted your voice to heaven. But one more time. Can we magnify God? Can we make him bigger in our spirits than he currently is right now? Oh! Not because of him. Song says, not because I've been so faithful, not because I've been so good. You've always been there for me to supply my every need. You were there when I was lonely. You were there in all my pain, guiding my footsteps, my shelter from the rain. How many of you know that it was God and God alone that made your life complete? You are to me my everything, and that is why I sing. You help me see it. Because Jesus, I love you. Singing it to the Lord, I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Say, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. Because I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. One more time. Say, Jesus, I love you. Because, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. Because you care. Couldn't imagine, Lord, if you weren't there. Praise the Lord. I feel like the Lord has something in store for us tonight. I believe the Lord is going to do a great work. I'm interested in what God's interested in. As your pastor alluded to, I was praying about this meeting this weekend. And let me just ease your mind. I'm not going to go as long tonight as I went this morning. Have no fear, it is I. But if I do go as long, we'll just say it was the Lord. Praying for this meeting, it seems like you have to pray a little longer. At least I do. When I go somewhere else, I'm pretty stocked up on messages in my place for the next few years. I kind of know what we need to hear. was very torn. Usually when going somewhere else, you'd like to play the safe card and just preach a message that would encourage and enlighten and inspire. Don't know how it's going to go tonight, but I feel like we're going to expose the enemy for who and what he is. And I found out that the enemy loses his power to deceive once he is exposed for who and what he really is. Make no mistake about it, he is in the deception business. As I stated this morning, he wasn't trying to take over the throne of God necessarily. He was simply trying to raise his throne above the stars of God. If he can affect the church, if he can deceive the church, if he can water down the church or damper the church, that's what his goal is. Some of y'all think Satan's smart. Well, if you think then Satan is smart, you need to know that he already knows he's lost. But if he could just affect the bride, if he could just bind up the bride, it's kind of like the game is getting out of hand. The basketball team is up 120-3. And so they know they're not going to win, but if they can just injure the star player, if they could just take somebody's knees out, if they could just injure somebody's back, it's kind of what the enemy's doing tonight. He knows it's already done. But if he could just isolate somebody in the house, if he can get them away from the church for just a minute, if he could just take the legs out, take the minds out, take the faith out, if he could just cause you not to pray every single day, and if he could just cause you to quit praising the Lord on Sunday evenings and Sunday mornings and Monday when you wake up and Tuesday when you wake up, if he could just isolate you from the church. In other words, if he could take as many with him as possible. That's his goal. But tonight, let's expose him. Real quickly, if you grab your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4. What a wonderful spirit of the Lord is in this house. I don't want to contradict your pastor, but I don't know if I'm doing a great work in Gary. I kind of feel inadequate a lot, like I'm not doing enough. But I will tell you this, I'm ready to do more than I've ever done before. I don't stand before you today with all the answers. I'm a flawed man who hasn't given enough to the Lord. But I desire to. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." It's interesting because this verse alludes to the fact that they were once part of the faith. "Latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now, let's just call it like it is. Backsliding is nothing more than giving over your mind and your body to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You didn't just get a little cold in your soul. You didn't just forget to go to church for the last 6 months. You are under the control of something. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. All y'all that don't prophesy, or all y'all that don't exercise and you don't run and you jog, there's your verse. There it is. Tell your wife you don't need to. I'm just kidding. You should. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. I'm almost done. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of thy believers in word, in conversation. No, you got to hear me on this. In word and in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, until I come. I've got news. The Lord isn't coming back for a church that has wishy-washy doctrine. God's not coming back for a church that's partially given God his praise. God's not coming back for a church that's partially holy. God is coming back for a church that represents their daddy, their God. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in me. Another writer says, stir up the gift which was given thee by prophecy with laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Wholly to them. That thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I'm simply going to title this tonight, Knowing Your Enemy. Knowing Your Enemy. Put down your Bibles and one more time give the Lord some praise. Praise God. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Again, 1 Timothy 4 and 1 states, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In our quest and in our watching for the Lord to return for the church of the living God, there are a few things we know that will happen. And one of these things in particular will be a rise of the spirit of the enemy at work. It will be a rise of seducing spirits. It will be a rise of doctrines of devils that form out of nowhere, or some that have been in existence for a long time. There is strong evidence, and I put that very lightly, there is strong evidence that demonic activity is on the rise. If you don't feel comfortable with the term demonic activity, you must not understand that we are in a war. We're not just coming together tonight to have good church. We must realize that we are in a war. The book of Revelation, chapter number 16 and verse number 14 says this: "For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." The Lord then speaks, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Before the Lord comes again, there will be a rise of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I would submit to the church today that these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils are aimed directly at the church of the living God. The enemy has already got the world under his grip and under his grasp. He's not concerned about those that have not God. What he is concerned about is the church of the living God. And so these seducing spirits, these doctrines of devils that will arise in the last days, will be pointed as his fiery darts are pointed to the church and in the direction of the church of the living God. It's not time for the church to be lackadaisical. It's not time for the church to be wishy-washy. It's not time for the church to relax and to sit back and just wait until the Lord comes again. But it is time for the church, as the word says, to be watching and to be guarding the integrity of the word of God, to be guarding and to read the word of God, to have your conversation rooted and grounded in things that are pure. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. The Catholic Church 10 years ago, we do not agree with the Catholic Church. We love Catholics, but we do not agree with their doctrinal stance. But 10 years ago, the Catholic Church, and we also do not believe in this, but you'll see the point in it, they employed 20 full-time exorcists in the Catholic Church. These exorcists would go around the world and they would deal with the most demonic of all the demons. The strong ones, the heavy ones. That, my brothers and sisters, was 10 years ago. Today, the Catholic Church now employs 350 full-time exorcists in this time of drastic recession. If the Catholic Church understands that there is a rising level of spiritual wickedness in the world, and the church of the living God that's been bought with the blood, that knows who Jesus is and baptized in his name, is not aware of the same spirits and the same movements. And I'll go even one step further. We're laying down our holiness more than we ever have. We're laying down our conviction more than we ever had. Yet the Catholic Church is saying, we need more. I've got news today. The world is not concerned. It doesn't affect them the way that you dress, ladies. They're not turned off or turned on by the way you dress when they come into the house of God. Hallelujah. They just want to go into a place where people are sold out. It was about a year ago, people gathered together in a stadium, some 100,000 people, to partake and to watch the Super Bowl. Millions upon millions upon millions of people gathered together in sports bars and restaurants and family members' living rooms and basements to watch the game. The first half came and gone. Now it was halftime. An artist by the name of Madonna came on the stage. She began to sing her songs. Many of the songs, if you just lyrically look at the words, you would notice that these words do not coincide with what the Word of God teaches the church. But more than that, and this is more than just our children now, because I've got news for you, Madonna was 53 years old when she did this last year. Some of you today or 45, 50 years old, you were a high school graduate, or you were in high school when you were playing her music. She came on the stage and for the next 12 to 15 minutes began to sing. But not only did she sing, she began to dance. But not only did she dance, she had a set specifically designed. She had choreography. She had her outfits and her costumes designed specifically to convey a message to the world while the world was watching. If you were to look, and I wish we had media to go along with this, but we don't tonight, so you'll just have to hear me. She wore dresses to resemble herself to what the world calls Baphomet. Baphomet is nothing more than the devil. She was wearing a devil's costume. No, it's not the pitchfork, and no, it's not the long tail, but this is the real type of a Luciferian worship. And for the next 12 minutes of this show, she was throwing all types of symbolic Illuminati and symbolic devil worship signs up to the United States of America, and yea, even to the world. And the world watched, and the world didn't notice. The world sat there for 12 minutes and didn't even notice a thing. There was even some that were part of the church that I seen on social networks that got on the social network and they said, my goodness, Madonna hasn't lost a step. There was apostolics that were in Bible college that got on their Facebook accounts and they began to say, wow, she still got it. That was one of the coolest shows we've ever seen. And right in the midst of reading all of these reviews, the Lord began to talk to me and say, the church had better not be deceived in these last days. Let me tell you, it's not going to come from the president's office. A message of righteousness and holiness is not going to come from the government. It's not going to come from our school systems, our public education. No, the only beacon of truth and beacon of righteousness will only be portrayed and conveyed through the church of the living God. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. If you're trying to worship at the altars of Madonna and then come worship at the altars of God, there is something that's wrong with your spiritual makeup. There is something wrong with your spirit. There is something dysfunctional going on in your mind. Let me just say it like this. You can't have it both ways. Well, I just listen to the beat. I just like this and I just like that. No, sir, no, ma'am. There's a spirit that you open up your body to when you put that stuff in front of your ears and you put that stuff in front of your mind. It's not going to be the drugs that get you. It's not going to be the bars that get you, but it's going to be the subliminal programming that comes from the doctrine of devils. Well, you know, I don't think it's all that, Pastor. I don't think it's all the... I think you're trying to sensationalize it. I don't believe I'm sensationalizing it at all. As a matter of fact, I don't think we talk about it enough. I don't think we preach about it enough. I didn't come here tonight to preach against music because God loves music. But I've come to preach an old biblical truth that we've got to be holy and we've got to be separated from the influence of the world. It's everywhere. It's not just in the music. It's in the lyrics. But it's also in the clothing, in the designers. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. You're being a little fanatical right now, Pastor. No, I don't believe I am. There was an elder or a deacon in my church, a good man, who shops at TJ Maxx like me. I like to buy stuff that's cheap. Amen. You're going to preach with me now. We're giving away 25% off coupons tonight. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost. You better get that baptism already. There's somebody going to get baptized again. So we go to these TJ Maxx, we go to Marshall's, we go to Ross, whatever is discounted. And this man is no different. He was standing next to me, giving me an update on the electrical report of our church. And I kept looking at his clothes, trying to figure out what those designs were. And finally I said, "Hey, I can't even listen to one more thing you say." "Yep, that's exactly what I thought it was." He said, "What?" I said, "You have nothing but skulls and bones on your sweater. Did you know that?" And he thought, "Man, I thought they were just polka dots." "It sounds funny, but what in the world are a bunch of skull and bones doing on a grown man's sweater?" I started digging a little bit deeper, and you'll find this in all the videos that I've done. They're here in the lobby if you'd like some. I started digging into Rockaware and digging into all of these different types of clothing lines that have been sponsored or labeled by singers and musicians. And what I found when I began to dig into these clothing lines was one common fact, and that all of these clothing lines were dealing with demonic symbolism. I mean, we're not talking about tight clothes here. We're not talking about clothes that are mini skirts. We're not talking about men's clothes that are this or that. We're talking about clothing lines that have demonic symbols all across their shirts, their sleeves, and even this. When I began to preach this and teach this in the Fearless Conference, the first time I began to teach it, there was a man that I've never seen before. He got so worked up the first night that he came back the second night to hear me again. And this time, he found me out before I began to speak. And to be honest with you, I didn't want to talk to anybody because it's a 3-hour presentation each night. There was a lot of things on my mind. But he had went home and he had cut. Somebody give me a jacket. Give me your jacket. He had a jacket on, and this man didn't have the Holy Ghost, but he went to his jacket, and on the back of it, right here, it's just a black liner. And he said he got down to pray. He got down to pray. And he began to pray. And he said the Lord told him to cut the lining of his jacket. I said, "All right. Here we go. We're just going to follow the Holy Ghost. We're going to walk through the open door." And so he cut the lining of his jacket. By this point, tears were streaming down this young man's face. And he said, "This is what it was." I wish I could tell you what it was, but I've seen so many of them from that point to this point. I can't remember what. You get the video and you'll find out what demonic symbolism it was. It was either the devil on the back, on the inside of his liner, or some type of demonic symbolism that was just right on the inside. No one could even see this. Why would a clothing company spend money to put a design on a coat that no one could even see? I think you're stretching. I don't think I'm stretching even a little bit. I think the enemy's trying to deceive somebody tonight. I think the enemy's trying not only to deceive you. I think the enemy's trying to crawl in your home and creep in your home. I think the enemy's trying to get in your stereo system. Let me tell you what is not correct. Let me tell you what is not functional. Let me tell you what is not right. To be in the house of God, dancing with your pastor, having your pastor lay his hands upon you, having the church of God preach and teach you, and coming up to the altar and watching people get baptized and dancing in the corner, and then after service go in your car and turn on music that doesn't glorify. Music that talks about sexual lewdness. Music that refers to women as objects and not people. Music that talks about violence. Music that talks about things that are in opposition to the word of God. Let me tell you, there's a problem going around. I've seen it in my youth, in my young people. It made me cry because I was bound by it. Called to preach at the age of 14. There was no doubt in my mind that I would be a preacher of the gospel. I preached my first message at the age of 11, behind the pulpit, preached about faith. I preached 14 again several times, and at 16 I began to preach pretty consistently. But by the age of 21, I was enslaved with music that was not godly. I worked at a radio station. It was the largest gospel radio station in the world, the most powerful gospel radio station in the world. On good nights, you could get our signal in Alabama. But attached to that gospel radio station was two sister stations. The sister stations was a old, golden, oldies-type R&B station. And then there was the new station, the hip-hop and R&B. Many of the artists that were played on this station were artists that I was already entangled with. Every day I met somebody else. I met Usher, I met Beyonce, I met Destiny's Child, I met Alicia Keys when nobody knew who Alicia Keys was. I met all of these artists every single day. It was part of my job. I met this group, some of you probably don't even know them. I think they're from Atlanta, a guy singing group called 112, and they were one of my favorite groups. And there they were, one of my favorite singers. A guy by the name of Slim was in the group, and I went in the booth with them for a little bit, and one of the guys said, "Hey, he sings," and I began to sing a little chorus with them. But then on Sunday, I'd be in the house of God and never heard anybody preach about it. Matter of fact, I didn't really think it was all that wrong because everybody else I knew listened to it. But you know what? There was something in my spirit that kept saying, "Phil Endress, if you ever want to be the man of God that I've called you to be, you're going to have to put that stuff down. Because when you start opening up your spirit to that stuff, you become somebody different than what I've created you to be." Oh, you've got to hear me today. When music begins to be played in your midst, it changes your mood. It changes your actions. It changes your personality. I've seen some people that are so backward and so shy, yet when that song comes on, woo! That's my song. I've seen it. I'm just going to be honest with you. For 6 months, I backslid, and I don't think I need to hide it. I don't think I need to. I think it's going to help somebody. I went to several clubs, 21 years old, going to be a preacher. Went to clubs. Man, you probably don't think as highly about me now, do you? But I'm trying to help some of these cats over here. They're going to face the same thing that I'm facing. I went in there and walked in the corner. I was a single guy, and girls would come up and try to dance. And songs would be played, and I'm a pretty shy person. I'm pretty reserved. Some even people take me as being arrogant because I'm quiet, but really it's just I'm not arrogant. I'm just really quiet. My mom and dad always taught me to say, if you don't have nothing to say, don't say it. Amen? And so, I'd just be quiet, and pretty soon, I'd hear what somebody has to say about me. Or I'd hear a song, and I'd start singing that song. And that song would make me feel a little bit different about myself. And make me feel a little bit more outgoing than what I really was. It make me feel a little better than what I had felt. There are spirits that are attached. These songs would influence the way that I treated a girlfriend or the way that I treated women in general. Hey, you need someone to be honest with you today. Big playa playa. The Holy Ghost didn't teach you that. I hope your mom didn't teach you that, but where did it come from? came from what we put in front of our ears and what we put in front of our minds. And it's attacking and ravaging the church of the living God. I was in New Orleans, backslid in a singing on, I don't even really remember what I was doing. I was singing with a friend. We were just singing harmony. And this lady came up to me and tapped me on my shoulder and said, "Hey, my name is so-and-so, and I work for Sony Music Group, and we have an office just a couple streets down the blah, 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 blah." And she said, "I heard your voice. You're a real good singer." She said, "Here, come by. I want to give you a try. I want to see if we might want to sign you." My God, that's cool. Had the card. I said, "Okay." I took the card back to my hotel room and put it on the ledge. And my friend who was there said, "Are you going to call? Because if you call, I'm going to be your manager." We had it all planned out. Kept looking at that card. And every time I looked at that card, the Holy Ghost started springing up and said, "I've called you. You don't belong to this world. You don't belong to them. You belong to me. I purchased you with my blood. What are you doing messing around with them?" I still, "Come on, Lord, just leave me alone." Take that business card around. The next day, I got a phone call. On the other line, it was my cousin. He told me that a close friend of mine had died in a car wreck. I got down on my knees that day and said, "Lord, I don't know what I was doing, but whatever I was doing, that wasn't me. That wasn't me, Lord. Because who I truly am is someone that just wants to be close to you. Is someone that just wants to be in your will." And I feel tonight like there's somebody here that's been living a dual life. I'm not saying that you're a bad person, but there were things in your life that were against what the Word of God says. And the dangerous part is the Lord's been telling you. And it might not just be music. It could be an attitude. It could be a relationship that you have. It could be a friend. You know what I'm talking about. You, the Lord is still speaking to people with a still small voice. And you've got to know who your enemy is tonight. Your enemy, first and foremost, is not your pastor. It's not the man of God that says, "Hey, you don't need to go there, and you don't need to do that, and you need to be here for prayer, and you need to quit being late for church." That is not your enemy. That's the man that's going to help you to get to heaven. Oh, God. I feel the Holy Ghost. So tonight, I believe that the enemy needs to be exposed for who and for what he is. I could talk to you for hours upon hours, and some of y'all think I might do that tonight. I won't. Talk to you about artists that blatantly say they've sold their soul to the devil. Katy Perry, she grew up in a Pentecostal type church. One interviewer asked her, not only does she grow up in a Pentecostal type church, she has a Christian CD that they sold in the family bookstores all across America. Not under the name Katy Perry, but under her real name. But one day she went a different direction and the interviewer asked her, "What happened to you?" And she honestly answered, "I sold my soul to the devil." Another interviewer was asking the old singer Bob Dylan. He said, "Bob, how did you make it in the music industry?" He began to tell him, "Well, you know, I was struggling for years and years and months and never got the break that I..." And if any of you have ever seen the way Bob Dylan talks, he doesn't really talk. He's not exaggerating when he's talking. They said, "Well, what happened? How'd you get your break?" And he told that interviewer, I think on ABC or whatever, he goes, "I sold my soul, you know, to..." The interviewer goes, sold your soul to who? You know, the guy that's in charge. And who's in charge? He said, I sold my soul to the devil. Kanye West will even admit to you that he sold his soul to the devil. Jay-Z has a song called Lucifer, Dawn of the Morning. He went into the Bew Booth, and some of you that follow rap music knows that he doesn't even write things down on pieces of paper. He just goes into the studio, and he begins to flow as soon as he hears the beat. And what came out of his mouth was a song basically praising Lucifer. Lucifer, Dawn of the Morning. He begins to quote even scripture in that song. And then after he's done, he comes out of the musical booth and he punches Kanye West. And he says, man, I haven't read the Bible one day in my life. I don't even know how I even quoted that. You don't think that's a coincidence? Or you do think that's a coincidence? I don't believe that's a coincidence. And then some of y'all that like Alicia Keys, when she sings that song, in New York, concrete jungle where dreams are made of. Well, you need to listen to Jay-Z's part in there, because this is what he says in his rap. He says, Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church ends. Yeah, you think that's just a cute song. You're going to go visit New York, so you want to play it a few times. You like that song, Concrete Jungle Where Dreams Are Made Of. You're going to start listening to the lyrics. Pretty soon we like the vocals, or we like the beat that accompanies it. But we don't hear the real message that Jay-Z's trying to tell the millions and millions and millions of people, that Jesus can't save you. Yet the guy wears a Jesus necklace everywhere he goes. I'm sorry. This makes me kind of mad when he says that he's J or H to the Hizzo, talking about he's Jehovah. I'm sorry, sir. You're not going to mock my God. And listen, young people, if you stand for God, if you are a protector and defender of the word of God, you're not going to let Jay-Z, and you're not going to let any artist, you're not going to let any singer, you're not going to let any musician run your God down. Is there anybody in the house that's a little jealous for your God? Is there anybody in the house that has his back? The Bible says this, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth, the Bible says, the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. There was a war that went on in heaven. There's still a war going on, but the war has changed fields. It's no longer going on in heaven. It's going on in earth. And the enemy is still using the areas in which he was anointed to do battle with. He was the chief musician. He was the choir director. How do you think he's going to work today? He's going to work in choir. He was beautiful in all of his ways. He was perfect. How do you think the enemy's going to work today? He's going to work through vanity. He's going to work through fashion. He's going to work through Hollywood. He's going to work through all of these types of things. Why? He wants to separate you from who God created you to be. He wants to begin a duality in your life. He wants to make you a separate person. He wants to divide your loyalties. He wants to give you a stage name. My God, have mercy. And this cannot be allowed in the apostolic church. This can't be allowed in the true church of God. Sister, you have a beautiful voice. You always sing for God. You don't ever, ever give in and listen to worldly songs. You don't do, listen, hear me now. Listen, you don't listen to worldly songs because you're saying that I'm trying to get better. I heard what you can do vocally. I heard all those trills and all those runs. I heard the little soul and jazz that's in your voice. Don't ever give in to the world because you say you can't look at somebody in the church that can make you better. Let me just preach it like it is tonight. I happen to believe, sis, if you get down on your hands and knees and you really want to be a great singer, because I think you want to be a great singer, hopefully not for your glory, but for His glory, if you would get down on your knees and say, Lord, I love singing for You. Will You make me the best singer that I can possibly be? God will hear those prayers and God will honor those prayers. I don't want to be anything other than what God wants me to be and God formed me to be. He's trying to corrupt you. He's trying to get you to be something that you're not. He's trying to get you to be something that you're not and you to be something that you're not. But when God formed us, you know, he's got the owner's manual for us. He knows the best way for us to live. He knows the most optimal way for us to live. He knows the most efficient way for us to live. We've got to be in Christ all of the way. There's a fourth volume that I did to Fearless, and this fourth volume was on Hollywood. I don't have time to get into all of it. Matter of fact, it's not even out yet, but if you do a study on Hollywood, the formation of Hollywood, I mean, it's just right there. It's so easy. I've heard it preached to me for years, Brother Pastor. Bishop Sutton. I'm trying, but I don't want to get yelled at either tonight. Don't bring that guy back. He's long-winded, Pastor. Well, some of y'all are going to hell. You might as well just wait till I'm done to go to hell, so you might as well wait till I said that at my church. I'm just kidding. I think the way that I said it at my church was something like this. Some of y'all are going to hell. You may as well not hurry up with it. But I don't believe that here. I believe y'all are going to heaven. Pastor Sutton's a much better pastor than I am. So I began to study this, and it wasn't really hard to study the origins of Hollywood. It was pretty easy to see that all of the origins of Hollywood were based on satanic rituals. And I thought to myself, my God, why doesn't someone just get up and preach that instead of saying, turn off the devil backs? Get the one-eyed devil out of your house. Oh, man, why don't somebody just get up and really say why? I said, okay, why don't you do it to your church? I said, okay. I got up and just went right down the line of how Hollywood was based on Illuminati rituals, satanic practices. This movie and that movie and that movie. And I'm talking all the way into the silent movie period. There's a silent movie called, what's the name of it? Annapolis. And this silent movie gave birth to all types of different movies in the horror genre. And not only that, musicians and singers, when they do their music videos, they do them according to this movie. And this movie was all about mind control and controlling the masses. There was a song the other day that I heard in the grocery store. It was one of the most catchy choruses that I've ever heard. The girl that sings it is a girl by the name of Kesha. The song's name is Die Young. In the song, she talks about meeting some type of guy, and they're at this particular location. And apparently, and accordingly to this song, this guy that comes to this location where she's at comes with another girl. And so she sings, let's make the most of it, of this night, like we're going to die young. I heard that song. And sometimes when giving ear to any type of music anywhere you are, you begin to hum it or you begin to sing it. You don't even know where it came from. You're like, where did that come from? Well, anytime something does that to me, I usually go back and do a little research on it. So I typed in the name and I pulled it up on YouTube and I looked at the music video. This song is nothing more than a girl saying that she wants to meet this guy and is probably at a party or whatever. And that's what the whole song is about. So let's make the most of it like we're going to die. The music video is nothing but occultic, I'm telling you, just straight up satanic symbols, satanic practices from the beginning to the end. And I begin to ask myself, what does that have anything to do with what she's saying? The fact of the matter is, the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy you and your kids. Hear me, moms and dads, this is why you need to know. Hey, there is so much access today. Your kid could be in church and be watching something. Your kid could be in the corner of your house, and you might not have this, and you might not have that in your house. But if they got a cell phone, they can pull up just about anything and listen to just about anything in just a matter of minutes. And with that said, I commend every young man of God, and I commend every young woman of God that in this day and age are truly living for God with everything that they have in them. Because, hey, we didn't have this when we were a kid. We didn't have it at our fingertips. Moms and dads, these kids can't afford you to be wishy-washy with God. You need to pray for your kids like you've never prayed for them before. I got a 4-year-old that can use my phone better than I can. I've got a 2-year-old boy that can, after I open up and unlock my phone, he can go to YouTube to watch his Thomas the Train videos. But one day when I was just trying to get some work done and pacify him, I gave him the Thomas the Train video. And by the time that I got back to him, he was watching something crazy. Don't know how he got to it. He didn't probably even know how he got to it. Matter of fact, he said, Thomas, I want Thomas. Is there anybody in the house that's been overtaken by the Thomas spirit in their house? That's an expensive spirit. I might just start preaching against it. Man, when you start knowing Thomas and Bell and Spencer and all these different names, man, there's something wrong with that. Gotta be. And here he is watching stuff that's just crazy. You better pray over your children like you've never prayed over them before. Well, I just don't see it in the word of the Lord, Pastor, where we can't do this and we can't do that. I just don't see it in the word of the Lord where we need to be so strict. Well, you just wait till your kid's 13 or 14 and they're not the same kid that when they were 6 years old, because you've let them go down that route and you didn't listen to your pastor. Hear this preacher today. There's a devil that wants your kids because he knows that your kids and these young men can be preachers and missionaries and prophets and soul winners and singers and worship leaders and piano players. My God, I've made up in my mind, we're going to expose the enemy for who and what he is in our house. Hey, you might not be popular with your kids every once in a while, but they're going to be saved. They're going to be saved. I'm almost done. You may be seated. And I pretty much just lied. I'm not really almost done. Lord, forgive me. But I will almost be done for you. Christians, and I say that very loosely, Christians that subscribe and believe in Jesus Christ, that go to church on Sundays, there was over 3,000 of them polled. The question that they were polled with was this: Satan is not a living symbol, Satan is not a living being, but is he a symbol of evil? So basically, is Satan living being, or is he just a symbol? Is he symbolic? 40% of Christians today believe that Satan is not a living being. They just believe that he is a symbol. 26% of those believe that Satan is a living being. 9% are not decided. And 8% said they don't care. So if we took the high figures, it would come out to 35% of Christians. We're not talking about atheists here. We're talking about those people that believe in Jesus Christ. Only 35, and that's the high side, only 35% of Christians even believe that the devil is real. I've said this to my church, that some of the greatest atheists, the strongest atheists in the world today sit in apostolic pews. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, we sing songs about a healer. We sing songs about a deliverer. We sing songs about a God that is great and mighty. We sing songs about how in love we are with Him. But then our actions are counter to what the word of the Lord or what we're saying about our God. What does that make us? The enemy is trying to deceive you. And how is he trying to deceive you? He's trying to deceive you by thinking or making you believe that he's not even real. He's not even existent. He's trying to make you believe that just because you're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, that you somehow now have repellent against the enemy. You've got the Holy Ghost and you can resist the devil and he will flee, but he's still going to come to you. Coming to a close, but I want to tell you this. The covering of Lucifer was given to him to do his job to the utmost. The Lord has given us the Holy Ghost for us to do our job to the utmost. Are we going to allow the enemy to work in our midst, in our homes? Or are we going to take authority over the enemy tonight? Young people, are you going to allow the enemy to work in your life? Brother Miles will set this straight next week. He's going to preach to y'all, but let me just preach to you for about 2 minutes. Are you going to allow the enemy to intrude in your life and to take your loyalty away from your God and Savior? Are you going to give in to the enemy when the enemy wants you to turn on stuff that doesn't glorify God and have conversation that doesn't glorify God? Are you hearing me, young men? Because no doubt in this many young men, there's some of you all called to God to spend the rest of your life in a ministry. Of course, your pastor will deal with that. But here, listen, the moment you begin to open the door, you begin to open the door and let the enemy in, he's going to keep coming back. Except he's going to come back bigger and stronger and more prevalent in your life. Somebody asked me what I believe on blasphemy, and to be honest with you, I really don't have a set belief on blasphemy yet. I'll be honest with you. But I do know this, that God has given us gifts. One of those gifts is the Holy Ghost. And I believe that everything associated with the Holy Ghost is still considered a gift of God. I believe that conviction is a gift from God. I believe that the convicting power of the Holy Ghost is a gift from God Almighty. And every time that we do something where God convicts us and we just push it away, what we really tell God is this: we don't want your gift. Now, I don't know what blasphemy is, but I think it's probably a lot like that. We don't want your gift. We don't think your gift is valuable. Matter of fact, we think we can do it better than yourself. You keep doing that to the Lord and you'll become what the Pharaoh was in Egypt, where the Bible says that his heart was hardened by God. Okay, so that's the bad part. The good part about this is that God has given us more than enough to overcome and to defeat the enemy. The good part is the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. The good news is, young man, if you want to really live for God, you can really live for God, and the devil won't have a say in the matter. The good news is, if you listen to that music or you put yourself in situations that compromise your Holy Ghost, all you've got to do tonight is say, Lord, I'm sorry and I'm not going back. And it's done. It's done. I said it's done. If you want to know more about this, you want to find out specifics and learn a lot more than what I've talked about tonight, it's impossible to do this because it takes literally three or four people to put on a presentation like this. There's some DVDs out there. I'm sorry I didn't do an adequate job. If you want them, great. Give them out to people. People will come to the church. You'll get Bible studies because of these. I promise. There's a whole movement in Australia that are part of a denominational church that are watching these DVDs and calling me up and messaging me all of the time. They're pretty soon going to get the revelation of the name of Jesus and be baptized in Jesus' name. Hear me. There's a charismatic church that's about 15 miles from me. They average about 1,500 people in their church. They played my videos, these Fearless Conference videos, right in their sanctuary in the big screens. Listen, and this is the thing that was so convicting, Brother Sutton. They don't even know his name. They haven't even been baptized in his name. And they took in that charismatic church. We like to make fun. You know what they did? They went home and they got buckets of trash cans. And they brought all kinds of DVDs and all kinds of music. And they brought them to the altar of their church. And they destroyed them and gave them back to God. Hey, let me tell you something today, church. The world is hungry for Jesus. Not the fake stuff, the real stuff. I want to be sold out to him. Can you stand your feet and lift your voice to heaven? In the word of the Lord, 121 different times, the Bible says to sing unto the Lord. That makes that commandment, sing unto the Lord, the most repeated commandment in the word of God. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. My God, have mercy. You think it'd be given to the Lord or shout unto it, sing unto the Lord. This is what I'm asking all of the young people, and hopefully moms and dads, you follow in line. I want you to play something upbeat, something revival, something that makes the devil all kinds of mad. And I want our young ladies and I want our young men to absolutely 100% throw down. I don't want you to look at your friend and say, are we going to do this together? I don't care what your friend's going to do. I don't care what Billy's going to do. I don't care what Bobby's going to do. And I don't care what Susie's going to do. I care what you're going to do. I'm fixing, God, to give you every bit of praise, every bit of worship. No, you're not hearing me just yet. I want you to shake yourself real quick here, young people. Hey, you know I'm talking to some of you. You let down your guard a few times and you let the enemy get in. We're going to make up for that tonight. Are you with me, man? We're going to make up for that tonight. Are you with me, ladies? Devil, you're not going to get me one more time. You're not going to try to defeat me one more time. All right? You ready to go? I need moms and dads. If you've got a kid that's up here, I don't care if they're 25 or 10. I want you to come to this altar. All right, God have mercy. That thing's attacked me about four times. Come on, moms and dads. If you've got a child up in this altar, if you've got a child here, I don't care if they're 15 or 21, raise your hands. Are you all really ready to praise God tonight? Now, this is what we're going to do. They're going to get ready to play. But before they really just full out play, I want us to rear back and give God our highest, most undignified, most unreserved praise that we have in our spirit. Are you ready? We'll go. Yeah, you might have let the enemy in a few times, but the enemy's under your feet now. You might have messed up a few times. You might have fallen a few times, but the enemy's not going to have you any longer. Somebody keep going. You've got to focus. You've got to rear your head back. You've got to get your heart right. You've got to become in tune to the word of the Lord. A little bit louder. A little bit louder. A little bit stronger. I want you to tell hell, you can't have me. You can't have my praise. You can't have my purity. You can't have my mind. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. What he's when I